From the KTO newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep. Thanks for tuning in. A former Juneau School District principal pleaded not guilty yesterday to an assault charge stemming from an incident involving a student. Until recently, John Paul was the principal of Montessori Borealis and Yakuske Dakahiti High School, both located at the Zantakahini campus in Lemon Creek. He was charged with assault on April 3rd after he allegedly restrained the student in March. The school district placed him on administrative leave following the incident, and announced on Friday that current Harborview Elementary School principal Scott Johnson will be the new principal starting in August. Heather, the student's mom, says she filed a report with Juneau Police after seeing a video of the incident. KTOO is not using her last name to protect her child's identity. Heather says the district has been communicative with her following the incident and thinks it was a, quote, good idea that Paul didn't return to work.
I'm glad that he's been on administrative leave since the day it happened. So my child has gone to school and feels comfortable going to school.
Paul's pretrial hearing is scheduled for June 15th at the Diamond Courthouse. The judge overseeing the case said Paul, who hasn't been in police custody, could not contact Heather or her child in the meantime. Heather says she's felt supported and validated throughout the process. As of Thursday afternoon, she says she's unsure if she'll want to move forward with her own lawsuit against the principal.
I think I'd like to see a little bit more of how the criminal case plays out. But, I mean, if that is an option, the video is very telling, and it was absolutely not called for. Justice needs to be served, whether that's criminally or civilly.
Paul's lawyer said in an email Friday he and his client had nothing to add beyond a prior statement to KTOO, which said Paul disputes the charge and is presumed innocent. The district previously confirmed when Paul was placed on administrative leave, but cannot comment further on, quote, personnel matters. The defense attorney for a former Juneau chiropractor accused of assaulting more than a dozen women said he wants a retrial to be moved to Anchorage instead of Juneau. At least one witness doesn't think that's a good idea. KTOO's Yvonne Krumry has more.
It's been nearly 5 years since Juneau chiropractor Jeffrey Faltz was arrested. 14 former patients have accused him of sexual assault under the guise of medical care. They say the incidents took place during medical appointments between 2014 and 2020, when he was employed by Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium in Juneau. The case went to trial last August and ended with 2 acquittals and 14 charges declared mistrials. The judge dismissed another charge after the trial ended. And although Faltz wasn't found guilty, the remaining 13 charges are still active. The court assigned Faltz a public defender in October, Juneau's Nico Ambrose. He's Faltz's third defense attorney since his 2021 arrest. During a hearing earlier this month, Ambrose said he would file a motion to have the retrial in Anchorage instead of Juneau.
I know for a fact that this is a case that is very well discussed in the Juneau community. As the court recalls, it required an extraordinarily long jury selection in the first time.
State Prosecutor Kristen Tendy said during the hearing she would like Ambrose to file that motion sooner rather than later so her team can prepare.
If he believes there's enough based on what he has right now and the court agrees with that, that is a huge dynamic change.
In a call with KTOO, Tendy said she would respond to Ambrose's motion once it has been filed. As of Thursday afternoon, Ambrose had not filed a change of venue motion. In response to KTOO's request for an interview, he said he had no comment at this time. Christina Love is one of the women accusing Faltz of sexual assault under the guise of medical care. She told KTOO that moving the case to Anchorage would negatively impact her and other accusers.
We'd be asked to carry an even bigger burden than we've already carried for far too long. The change of venue would additionally cause harm to the people who've already endured more than enough.
Love said that a change of venue would also limit testifiers' ability to access their support networks during a trial. The next hearing in this case is scheduled for May 13th. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery.
And Skagway received big news on Wednesday. The borough was awarded a federal grant of nearly $39 million to construct an industrial dock that will allow the transportation of heavy materials. It could also help restart ore shipping activity through the Skagway port. KHNS's Melinda Munson has more.
Skagway has applied for a Port Infrastructure Development Program, or PIDP grant, administered through the Maritime Administration several times. This time they were successful, very successful. Skagway will receive $38.6 million for a new industrial dock with a roll-on, roll-off feature and fuel header. The money is part of a much larger bucket of funding that will go to ports across the state. Here's Skagway Mayor Orion Hansen.
We've applied for that grant 4 or 5 times and every year gotten really good feedback, but we're not awarded. And I think that this is a huge moment for Skagway moving forward as an industrial port and as a transportation corridor.
Hansen says the new dock is necessary for transporting heavy loads, something that the port has struggled with.
The dock, it'll have a 1,000 pound per square foot payload capacity, which is much stronger than any other dock that we currently have in Skagway or have ever had. And it's replacing old wooden infrastructure that's definitely outdated and needed of replacement.
Emily Deitch is Skagway's borough manager. Her team has been working on the grant applications. Recently, Skagway's port director and deputy manager visited Washington, D.C. to meet in person with the Department of Transportation about the grant. And Deitch debriefed regularly with the department to learn how to tweak the application for the next award cycle. Deitch says she's relieved there won't be a next time, although she and her staff were already gearing up for the next round of grant applications before they heard the news. Deitch says it was important to secure funding for this pricey project.
I would say we don't have much of an industrial dock at this point. When a firm or someone wants to come in, even if it's a bunch of cement or rail ties or bridge trusses or something like that, we can't offload them on the ore dock. It won't be able to handle the weight.
To be clear, the new dock is designed to handle more than construction materials. It is designed with mining in mind. The new dock will be located next to the port's dismantled ore loader. That loader was taken down in 2023, partly due to age and the recent construction of a dock used primarily for cruise ships called Ore Dock. At about the same time, the Minto mine in Canada shut down. Now, that mining operation is owned by Selkirk Copper. Selkirk hopes to start shipping ore concentrate through the Skagway port as early as 2028. A previous arrangement for the Yukon government to chip in $17 million for a marine service platform in the Skagway port disappeared amid a change in administrations. Deitch says there are a lot of reasons to invest in the Skagway port, regardless of Canadian mining.
We're not just talking about materials going to and from just Canada. We're talking about materials going to and from interior Alaska, the Arctic, all sorts of places. So I think that we're strategically located regardless of who's benefiting from it.
The municipality pledged an almost $13 million match for the grant. Mayor Hansen says that money will come from the port fund. As for when construction will begin, Manager Deitch says to be patient.
Just keep an eye out. This is going to likely be vetted further through ports and harbors. There's going to be more discussion as this develops.
Deitch says that although the Skagway Borough Assembly already approved a basic dock plan, it still needs to be finalized. A funding agreement needs to be signed, and the project needs to be put out for bid. A total of 7 Alaskan projects were awarded PIDP funds. Also among the grantees is the Alaskan Railroad Corporation, which will get about $20 million to upgrade the tunnel that connects the port of Whittier to the mainline track. And Homer was awarded around $11 million to replace its aging float system. In Skagway, I'm Melinda Munson.
Rail mega projects in interior and south central Alaska got a symbolic show of support on Wednesday from the Alaska legislature. Federal officials also announced funds bound for related rail infrastructure at the Matanuska-Susitna Borough's Port McKenzie. Alaska's congressional delegation said in a joint news release that the state will receive $34 million for Port McKenzie from a U.S. Department of Transportation Ports grant program. The news release said those funds will go toward constructing a cargo laydown area as well as a rail spur and rail loop, among other improvements. The announcement came just after the Alaska Senate approved a resolution supporting the completion of a pair of unfinished railroad extensions. Lawmakers in the House approved the resolution unanimously last year. One of the 2 mega projects would connect Port McKenzie to the state-owned Alaska Railroad Corporation's mainline south of Houston. That's a roughly 30-mile rail extension expected to cost $275 million. The other involves about 80 miles of new track to link Air Force Ale Air Force Base to Delta Junction and Fort Greeley. It's estimated to cost $1.7 billion. Several state lawmakers spoke in support of the rail extensions Wednesday, saying they'd increase the resilience of Alaska's freight infrastructure and help out military logistics. Here's Tok Republican Senator Mike Kronk.
Fort Greeley is the only military base in Alaska that's not connected by rail. It's a missile defense base. You know, it's crucial to defending our country.
Hundreds of millions of dollars in state and federal funds have already been spent on the two rail extension projects, which are partially built. Senator Forrest Dunbar, an Anchorage Democrat, also voted in favor of the resolution, but not without some hesitation. He says he supports the Northern Rail extension, but Dunbar says building out Port McKenzie could spread resources thin for similar infrastructure, like the Port of Alaska. And he says Port McKenzie is an example of a facility without a clear plan for how to pay for maintaining it.
And this would be another one of those kind of boondoggles, unless someone can show me real evidence that this would be self-sustaining, it's worth hundreds of millions of dollars of investment, and it would not harm our existing port infrastructure.
The resolution received letters of support from several municipalities in the Mat-Su and Interior. Big Lake Republican Representative Kevin McCabe sponsored the resolution in the House. In a statement after the Senate vote, McCabe said the resolution sends a message to Washington and investors that, quote, Alaska is ready. And back in Juneau, it's currently 52 degrees with some clouds, but also lots of sun. And that sun is expected to continue through today and into this weekend with highs around 50 degrees and lows in the upper 30s. This is KTOO. Thanks for tuning in.